You're listening to Podiatry Marketing, conversations on building a successful podiatry practice with Tyson Franklin and Jim McDonald.
Hi, I'm Tyson Franklin, and welcome back to this week's episode of Podiatry Marketing. With me, as usual, is Big Jim Mack. How are you doing today, Jim?
Tyson, I'm doing well. I've been to quite a few conferences over the last few weeks, and now I'm excited to talk with you today. And I've got a lot of energy. There's a lot of great podiatrists out there doing some fantastic things. So, no, it's been a fun road trip, and I'm happy to have a conversation with you today.
Yeah, I was going to open up with, welcome to Podiatry Marketing, the world's number one podiatry marketing podcast.
There we go.
And I remember seeing this quote once, and it said 50% of quotes or 50% of things you read on the internet are made up. Abraham Lincoln.
I've seen that. That's a good one. I'm just trying to get the number of American, the percentage of American listeners over the percentage of Australian listeners. So maybe we could have a little contest sometime to see if we can get more, you know, which country is going to have more listeners of podiatry marketing. So
that's funny, isn't it? Like Australia is so small, about 26 yeah. million compared to over 300 million. And we're winning the downloads on this podcast.
Barely. By the time they listen to this, maybe the US is pulled ahead. We'll see.
Ooh, don't know. Don't know. You're 10 times bigger. 15 times bigger. So you should have 15 times more downloads.
No excuses.
Hey, how many podiatrists in the States? Is it like 14,000? Is that about?
I think it's 18.
18? Yeah, well, yeah. I'm not sure what it is in podiatry, but I don't know, it's well over six. So yeah. I think when you're looking at podiatry numbers, though, you don't have 15 times more podiatrists.
But my co-host also has you've released, 500 other podcasts besides the one we do. So I'm trying to play catch up. I'm not trying to say that I don't have the clout you do, but I'm definitely trying to play catch up here a little bit.
Yeah. And for the new American listeners, if you're new to the show and you're trying to beat the Australians, don't forget to check out the Podiatry Legends podcast while you're there.
Nice plug.
Okay, Jim, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so, you know, while I was out at these conferences, there's some topics that came up quite, frequently. And one of them was somewhat of a disgruntled podiatrist with EMRs. And I thought it'd be good to talk a little bit about, some ways that people can leverage their electronic medical record software to really grow their practice. I think these are expensive, forms of software that a lot of podiatrists use, every single day. Probably they spend more time in them than they would like. But I think there's also certain aspects of the software that are underutilized. And if people can be a little bit more knowledgeable about their EMRs and what the capabilities are, they could really use them to, generate more reviews, generate a better patient experience. There's a few things we'll touch on today where, some people hate their EMR, they don't enjoy it. But I think if you dive into certain aspects of it, some of these EMRs out there can really be a benefit to your practice.
Yeah, so you're talking electronic medical records, which is pretty much like your patient management program.
Yeah, exactly. And in the US, they call them EMRs or, the EHRs, like the electronic health record. So those are the two things. But yeah, and sometimes it can be tied into different forms of practice management software. Sometimes these are more standalone, appointment and medical records documentation things. But I think there's definitely some ways that these types of software can be utilized to really bolster a practice.
Yeah, and I've heard them referred to also as CRMs, customer relationship management programs. Yeah. So it's all those terms are basically interchangeable. So anyone listening to this, you have one of them, or you should have at least one of these things. If you don't have one of these things in your practice, you need to get one.
For sure.
So where do you want to start?
Yeah, so we'll start kind of with the beginning of the patient journey, right? I think when a patient calls the practice or schedules an appointment with you, how do you kind of onboard the patient and the information that they have? And it's pretty common, I don't know if it's still common in a lot of practices, but you're on the phone, people are taking a bunch of information down about the patient. And then even when they come into the clinic for the first visit, then they're given a form or something to fill out. What I've seen is there's some interesting EMRs out there that will send patient links to completing a medical history online even before they get to the appointment. So, through a kind of a custom questionnaire sent out by text message or email, it can really speed up and kind of save a practice some time. I know that maybe some people have older patients and it maybe doesn't work quite as well for those folks, but even having this kind of on a web system where you have an iPad with that available, or maybe a member of your staff is helping that person onboard into the practice, but this can save a significant amount of time. I think a lot of medical staff could be better utilized for the patient experience, less on data entry, if they're using kind of more efficient, time-saving ways to onboard patient. I think patients are going to like it too, because they're going to spend less time. You know, they can do it at their leisure. They can spend less time in the office. They kind of walk in. You know, hopefully, if the patient's running on time, they can get to the treatment room a lot more quickly. Also, you know, when you're not under the gun, kind of, you know, in that office, kind of maybe the doctor's ready to see you. You're not quite ready yet. It just, you know, it can lead to kind of a better accuracy of your medical record when you have time to, maybe all your prescriptions are at home, or you're just not under the gun, so you can really think about your entire medical history to give to the podiatrist. But it just really helps the clinic also prepare for the visit, because they know why you're coming in, and they can have a better sense in their mind about what are going to be the best ways to treat you. But obviously, they're going to listen to you. They're going to go over the history and physical, and perform a physical just to make sure that, you know, they're giving you the best possible care. But I think the sooner and the easier that they can get that information about you and why you're coming to see them, the better care they can provide.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I've seen physios, chiropractors. I've never had to make an appointment to see a podiatrist. But usually it's the same thing. You make the appointment. And two times I get frustrated is when I've provided a whole pile of information over the phone. They've taken all this information, but then I turn up and they still give me a form to fill in. And I've got to repeat the same information that I already gave them over the phone. I'm thinking, you should have half of this already, but then it'll go into more detail. However, when I've seen a specialist, so not too long ago, I saw a neck surgeon, seems to be a common problem in podiatry, a few neck problems. And I was provided something way ahead of my appointment, a couple of weeks beforehand. I filled everything out completely. So when I arrived, they just said, "Hey Tyson, take a seat. He'll be with you soon." Didn't have to complete it. And I tell you, that was such a more enjoyable experience turning up. I could just sit down and get ready for my appointment, and then wait an hour and a half to get in. But that was that's a different story altogether.
Yeah, but it gives you the opportunity for that kind of wow patient experience, right? They feel like they didn't just, you know, potentially waste a lot of time having to double fill out that paperwork. And like also I said, like if the medical assistant or the front desk people don't have to be data entry people, they can really focus on the kind of the care of the patient and just really providing them a better experience. So I think that's definitely really important. The second part is, you know, if you do have a good EMR, you're going to have automated patient reminders and automated appointment reminders. So many EMRs offer automated reminders for appointments via email or text message. This feature, you know, reduces no-shows and keeps the patient kind of keeps the practice at top of mind for the patients. You know, they have a network of people that they're with as well. So by you kind of reminding the patient that, you know, you stay top of mind if someone in their network is looking for somebody, it shows a level of care and a level of, you know, there's going to be someone in that treatment room for you to treat as opposed to forgetting about their appointment. So personally, these reminders can really enhance patient engagement and making sure that they're showing up for their appointments.
Yeah, well, even with the Podiatry Legends podcast, I think I've mentioned it before, when I have guests come on there and I have it all set up that they will get automatic reminders at certain times that the podcast, yeah, when the podcast time's due. The amount of positive feedback that I've had from guests saying, these reminders were great, thanks, and they actually thank me for the reminder. Or if they need to change something, they can easily respond and change from that reminder and the way that it's actually set up. It saves me a ton of time, and it also saves them a lot of time.
No, 100%. There's like some of those nice automated features that, you know, it just, you have to think about it less. People are busy, so if there's something that's going to really aid you in, you know, getting to your appointment on time and getting that great care you provide, patients are definitely going to be thankful for that.
Yeah, but you could also probably, yeah, it's also great for like recall campaigns.
No, for sure. I think, you know, EMRs can facilitate, you know, really targeted recall campaigns. So if it's, you know, tied into your EMR, you know, getting, you know, patient emails, maybe you want to see someone back 1 week after they get an orthotic, just do a check, and then maybe 6 or 12 months recall just to make sure that they're doing well. And, you know, maybe after that 12 months, it's every 12 months to check and see, you know, how's your orthotic doing? How's the top covered? Do you have any issues with it? But it can be a great way that your staff doesn't actually have to spend a lot of time in it, but if the EMR is tied to an email system, or either it's within the EMR or has kind of an integration with a email system, it can be very beneficial, because these campaigns can be, you know, completely automated based on the patient history, the treatment schedules, and it really ensures patient engagement and continuous care. And it can be a real revenue generator for the practice by just implementing something simple as these recall campaigns.
Yeah, and they're also quite useful too, that even if you have a patient that inquires about a particular problem, if you can talk to them about that problem and at least even get their email address and some information from them, you can then also provide additional information about their problem, even if they haven't made an appointment yet. And this is what we, I think, the earlier episode we spoke about, the term is the money's in the follow-up. It's the nurturing process. Somebody has heel pain, they've inquired, they're not ready to make an appointment, but if you can get their email address at least, you can then automate something that can keep providing better information for them.
No, I think the nurture, like I was talking more, the recall is more for that established patients already come into, but I definitely agree with that, that the, you know, if someone does call into the practice and like, oh, I've been having left heel pain for a while, should I come and see you? I don't really know or not. Definitely getting, you know, setting up a sequence of maybe two or three emails to kind of follow up with that patient if they decide not to make an appointment at that time can provide them good information, but also kind of build trust that you're not just trying to like get them in there and just do a bunch of stuff. Maybe they just want to have a bit more information. They've been having this plantar fasciitis for 3 or 4 months and they've tried some different things, but if you help educate them in a, you know, way and let them come to you when they feel ready, I think it can be a very successful way to kind of develop that relationship.
Yeah, so other than just your recalls and then say nurturing, you could probably also use it quite well with patient education.
Yeah, I think that's a huge opportunity. Some of these EMR systems will have, you know, a library that maybe even you can create yourself with like how you like to treat certain things. So instead of a patient having to remember, what did that doctor tell me during the visit? you can either email, text, or print out something for them to take home with them that's very convenient, that doesn't take you, you don't have to go search for it on your Google Drive, or you don't have to search around. It should be pretty accessible based off of the coding that you provided your EMR. So, you know, some EMR systems have that allowed, you know, to send those out. And just, you know, sharing different types of foot care tips or new services you provide as well, and kind of updating about the practice, you know, through sometimes, you know, like I said, these can be integrated into email systems. So if you're looking to, you know, pull patient emails to a, you know, a generalized newsletter as well, that can be beneficial. So you don't have to be exporting CSV files and sending them to an email newsletter provider. Sometimes these can be pulled directly from your EMR. So integrations and, like I said, you know, patient education and making sure that the patients know what's going on, you know, this kind of stuff within an EMR can be very, very beneficial to your practice.
Yeah, and I like the idea of the patient education too, that if they've had a particular, say for example, you've fitted a pair of orthotics, you've given them instructions, you may have given them written instructions, which they've folded up, put in the back pocket, and it's gone through the wash, which is what sometimes happens. And what we were doing towards the end there is you can create an audio file, you can create the written instructions again, you can have these on your website, you can then have an email that goes out straight afterwards, knowing that when this happens, send this email. So it's all automated, that an email goes to that patient and says, oh, if you want to read the instructions again, follow this link. If you want to listen to the instructions, click here. If you want to watch a video and your podiatrist explaining the instructions again, follow this video. So there's so many things that you can do with patient education through those programs and actually have it all automated.
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit of a, some people love these kind of patient portals that will sometimes provide those levels of communication and visibility for, you know, like a video, like how to take care of yourself post-operatively. But I think, you know, having a personalized post-procedure video, maybe even like in a selfie with the podiatrist like holding a phone to their face explaining to you how to take care of yourself afterwards, whether you do that one time and then kind of repeat it, or you just do it personally for a patient after they leave the room or at the end of the day, those type of things are going to be really provide that patient experience. And you know, when you have that EMR to send it out with or to gather that information, obviously remaining HIPAA compliant is hugely important in the US, but really finding ways to personalize that care. And some of these tools, if you have a good EMR that require less, you know, time in it, you can spend more time with ways to really connect with people that's and establish better care.
And even patient surveys. I've got a couple of clients who have set up surveys that at a particular point, once they've been, say, for example, fitted with an orthotic, or had some other procedure done, a survey will go to them a few weeks later, getting their feedback. And they reckon the feedback that comes back has been so helpful in just improving a better service the next time they come in.
Yeah, we talked about patient surveys previously, and like you said, having this accessible and be able to send that stuff through an EMR is very, very powerful, because we're in our clinics all the time. We know what we do. We think we provide great care, but you really have to have some touch point outside of yourself or outside of your practice to really make sure that you're providing that excellent care and that excellent patient experience. Because if you can develop these practice promoters, these people that are raving fans of who you are and what you do, obviously I love digital marketing. I think it's a great tool, but when you have people in the real world who are advocating for you voluntarily, it's a very powerful thing. So getting that feedback and making sure you're providing the best care possible and the best patient experience possible is something that can be really valuable through an EMR with patient surveys.
Yeah, would you use it for reviews and testimonials as well? Even though in Australia we can't do testimonials, but in other countries you can.
Yeah, some advanced EMRs might offer, like I said, some integrations into these review systems. So you may not even have to leave the EMR, or maybe or you can kind of pull information from the EMR into an email newsletter system, as long as it's not getting, specific medical information about the patient. But what really happens there is that you're able to, send patients these requests for reviews. And, it's obviously something you would ask the patient beforehand, but when you have that, it's just much easier than having to set up necessarily a separate system or a separate software if possible. So if you do have that in your EMR, I highly recommend it, because like I said, what I find is a lot of times that, people do their notes, they do their charting in the EMR, but they kind of turn a blind eye to what other opportunities are within that EMR. And people are paying such high amounts of money for these things. They need to make sure that they're finding the best ways to be efficient with it and cost effective, right? If it has the ability to have patient education or the ability to onboard a patient in an efficient manner, you should really take advantage of what your EMR has to do. I know that no EMR is perfect and everyone has gripes pretty much about everyone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you get to know the capabilities of what you, maybe you don't like your EMR and maybe you want to learn what you can do for the next one, finding out, what ways will make your practice more efficient with some of the things we mentioned here above. But, as they're growing and EMRs are changing, you're seeing things like AI and other things get implemented into it, which will really help generate faster, more accurate patient notes in the future.
Yeah, just want to touch on the reviews there for a section too.
Sure.
I honestly believe the more reviews you give, the more reviews you get. So if you're enjoying this podcast, think about giving us a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Thought I'd give us a plug there, Jim. But it's true. I think if you give, you get. So I just thought I'd just throw that in there. What about integrating with like social media and other online sort of review management?
Yeah, with the review management, I think definitely it can be one of those things where you pull information from it and into your potential review system, like utilizing kind of secondary software. I haven't seen any EMRs themselves that do much from a social media perspective. I've seen sometimes you can pull information into a review gathering site, and if someone has given a 5-star, you can kind of make a small image, or you can make something shareable for social media. But maybe in the future there'll be more integrations. I think there's a little, especially in the US, it's a little tricky with how much access to give some of these social media platforms, especially tying them into a HIPAA compliant EMR.
Yeah.
But I think there's definitely things you can utilize from other kind of secondary softwares that integrate with an EMR. But I haven't seen a lot of social media integration with into the EMR quite yet.
No, most of the ones I've seen, it'll integrate with newsletters really well. And then within the newsletter, you can have that integrated with your social media. So it's sort of, it all
right.
Sort of ties in. But pretty much like the overall feel I get from what you're talking about here is don't look at your EMR purely as just your patient records. Use it as a marketing tool, because if it's got the capabilities to do it, then you should be using it because you're paying for it.
No, for sure. And if you have one of those, I know that there's different types of EMR. Some people are, it's kind of an all-in-one. So if you have access to all those features, why not use them to grow your practice? I know there's other types of EMRs that are more $50 a month for this and $100 a month for this extra thing.
Yeah.
And at that point, maybe it's not worth it if you have that type of EMR. If you're, if they're trying to kind of nickel and dime you for every little feature, maybe it's not worth it. But by leveraging, you know, these EMR features, you know, podiatrists can not only improve operational efficiency, but really affect, they can kind of effectively market their practice in a cost-effective manner if they're already paying for these things. So if you want to retain patients, you want to attract new ones, you know, definitely try to max out the capabilities of your EMR, either with yourself or with your staff. Because I said, like, if your staff can become more about a patient experience provider and helping you along that, as opposed to a data entry person, that's what it's really all about.
Yeah, and I think after you listen to this podcast episode, take down some notes and then talk to whoever you get your EMR from, your practice management software, and ask them, can I do this? Because sometimes you'll have the capability, you don't realize which buttons or something you've got to tick in the background to actually make it work. And usually all these programs will also have some form of training involved. They'll have a website you can go to and you can learn how to actually apply these things. But I think it's first, work out what you want it to do. Talk to your provider, can I do it? And if it can't, there may be something they haven't thought about that they may introduce. So the people that we used to use were like that. They were always wanting feedback. And eventually, you gave enough feedback, those features would start being added. They had the capabilities of doing it.
No, that's a great point. You know, just asking for what you want to have with your EMR will sometimes, if they have an open, if their ears are open and they're receptive to it, definitely. I think there's also another avenue you can go down is that generally all these EMRs will have like a doctor who is kind of the expert or the mentor and kind of knows all the ins and outs. It's basically kind of explored every aspect, every nook and cranny of this EMR. So generally they'll be able to consult with you probably for free because they're probably getting a discount. Their EMR is being discounted by being a consultant for them. So if you have an interest in EMRs and you want to make them better, one way to lower your cost potentially is to become an expert on that EMR and consult with the company that provides your EMR. So just some extra ideas there to wrap up the show.
Yeah, and I've also heard people that have gone into Facebook and have searched for that particular EMR and seen if there's a users group that actually uses that particular software, and they've joined that and they've learned a lot going through that, down that avenue as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, Big Jim, this has been an interesting topic. I hope everyone takes something away from this and actually applies it. So I look forward to talking again next week.
Sounds great, Tyson.
Okay, see ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Podiatry Marketing with Tyson Franklin and Jim McDonald. Subscribe and learn more at Podiatry Marketing. That's the website address, podiatry.marketing.